Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
What are you doing to protect your family's assets? The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Condori and Murad, would like to know. They'll set up your last will and testament or a living trust, put together a medical power of attorney for you. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today, right now, at kmlawyers.com, and be sure to mention us to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, coming off 96 yards and a tutty, joins the program in an hour at 5 o'clock, but right now it is time for your Beltway Blitz. We'll cover the Capitals, who play tonight in St. Paul, and the Commanders coming up on the Blitz. Let's get it started on the gridiron. And by gridiron, I mean basketball.
He meant basketball court.
Let me be clear, basketball court.
Yeah, the gridiron basketball court.
Although perhaps Varun Shankar, who covers the Wizards for the Washington Post, likes playing football or something like that. I don't know. Varun, thank you for the time, buddy. How are you?
Doing well. How about yourselves?
Doing very well. So let's get up to speed on the Wiz. I'm actually excited about the Wemby experience potentially here on Thursday night playing the Spurs. But what do we need to know about this Wizards group? They're giving up a lot of points. They've been scratching and clawing and kind of doing exactly what they need to do. In moments, competing, but finding ways to lose.
You know, in Thursday's game, I think they're in San Antonio. I don't think Wembanyama is going to play. That's just an educated guess based on the fact that they've got the NBA Cup Finals tonight, and I think he's going to play pretty heavily, and they're going to want to rest him in that game. But I do think he's going to play when they come to D.C., I want to say Sunday, so that should be interesting. With the Wizards, the defense has been a problem, but they have been pretty good in their last game against Indiana. They allowed the fewest points the franchise has allowed in a game since 2021, and it was a pretty connected effort. And you saw some of the players who've been introduced into the rotation, whether it be Justin Champagne and Jahmyr Watkins, the 2024 second round pick, 2025 second round pick, excuse me. Both of them have had a pretty good impact as definitive role players. And what I mean by that is they're not players who are expected to play a lot with the ball in their hands. They're not trying to make dribble moves or, you know, trying to create anything. Their job is pretty simple. Defend, rebound, hustle, and hit open shots. Move without the basketball. Hit some open threes. Keep the flow of the offense moving. Attack a closeout if you need to. And, you know, just keep everything moving. And I think they've done really well in those jobs. And the Wizards have done a good job of defining their roles very clearly.
Good to see Trey Johnson back on the court. I know that's probably going to be a minutes restriction, Varun, as he's nursing the hip. What can you tell us there about his prognosis and what we're thinking about the next month or so?
Yeah, I think he's moving a little bit better, and I think you're seeing that primarily in his ability to move off the ball. Just in a couple of games, and this is more a function of the eye test than looking at any numbers, but it feels like he's zipping around the court a little bit more, and I think that's good because his abilities as a shooter are not only his ability to make catch-and-shoot jumpers or off the dribble, it's that he's able to shoot off the move. And we've seen guys like Corey Kispert or Davis Bertans have success with that in D.C., but his ability to fly around a screen, pick up the ball, instantly shoot, even if he's a little bit off balance, that's stuff that really puts pressure on a defense. And we didn't see as much of that in the early part of the year. It was a lot of on-ball creation. I think that's something that's not his strength at this point in time. Someone with a decent amount of dribble moves and a good package there, but not someone with the greatest athleticism. And I think you see that as he went against NBA length and NBA defense. But his ability to move off the ball, getting a little bit better, making him more of a threat, I think that's going to help him get some easier shots and free up the rest of Washington's offense as well.
Brun, a couple of games ago, Bob Carrington had a season-high 27. He's been in double figures in 3 in a row and in 4 of 5. How do you feel like he's coming along? That 10-for-20 shooting performance in 40 minutes was kind of what you dream about. And then also just sum up his season for me, if you would.
Yeah, for Bob, it's been a weird season. I think you're seeing someone who's trying to refit his game to the NBA's more analytically inclined tilt. And what I mean by that is he's someone who took a lot of mid-range shots growing up in AAU and in college. And when he came to the Wizards, they enabled that for a year. But I think a big focus entering year two was, we want you to get to the rim a little bit more, even if there's going to be some short-term struggles finishing there. We want you to get those reps, that experience to get better in that area. And then on the other hand, your shooting is great. Instead of taking a pull-up jumper from 3 feet inside the three-point arc, move that back and start taking that as a three-pointer and stretch out the defense that way. Give yourself that added value of the extra point, obviously, when you're shooting a three-pointer. And the former, with him finishing at the rim, has been a real struggle. Just, he is someone who had a late growth spurt. I think you're seeing him try to adjust to finishing as a big guard rather than a small guard. And he's not the strongest player right now. He's trying to figure out how to go up against NBA shot blockers, and it's been a challenge. The three-point shot has been a real encouraging thing. And I think that for Carrington, if he's not going to be someone who plays well at the rim and plays with intent to get to the rim, which he has not really been so far in his career, it's going to be really important for him to be just like an absolute lights out 3-point shooter. And maybe that can make him a more effective player down the line. It's kind of a combo scoring guard who can give you some really good minutes and really fill up the scorebook.
What's the Will Riley plan?
Will Riley, I think at the beginning of the season, you saw that they were going to really slow play his development. He's really, really skinny. And I think that makes him a really tough player to have out there, especially on defense. But I think injuries and you know, he spent some time with the go-go. He looked really good with the go-go. And I think that his quick integration into the lineup and some injuries above him have given him some early chances. You're seeing that he's someone who can really play with the ball in his hands. He has a really good feel of how to break down a defender, how to look at the angles and read their movements and mirror them and how to break them down with the variety of moves he has. The next step for him is trying to incorporate that as part of a NBA team scheme, so it's not just him dribbling the ball. He can kind of figure out ways to create space for himself, but also his teammates.
Varun, thank you. We appreciate you as always.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
See you, buddy.
From the Wizards to their Capital One Arena roommates, the Capitals. Our guy John Walton is going to be on the call of Caps Hockey tonight right here on 106.7 The Fan in about 4 hours, just after 8 o'clock East time. The Capitals are in St. Paul to take on the Wild and suddenly find themselves a point back from second and 4 points off the pace in the Metro because the Canes have won 4 straight. The Isles have won 3 in a row. Capitals 7-1-2 over their last 10, sitting at 40 points. John, thanks for the time. We appreciate it. Give us the lay of the land for tonight with the Caps and the Wild.
Well, I think facing a team that's feeling pretty good about themselves in Minnesota, they've won 4 in a row, and they got Quinn Hughes in a trade on Friday from the Vancouver Canucks, who arguably, I think by anybody's estimation, in the top 3 of offensive defensemen in the NHL. So they're going for it here, and there's still a little bit of residual that the Caps are going to face tonight. And the Caps themselves, although to your point, have been very good, not just even in the last 10 games, I would say in the last 3 or 4 weeks, they have not been very good in the last 2, and most notably in Winnipeg, where it just really was a dud for all involved. So wanting to rebound, a full day of practice yesterday, of which the Caps haven't had a lot of practice time. I think getting back on the ice here, usually through the course of the Spencer Carberry era, when there is a game like we saw in Winnipeg, there's usually a pretty good bounce back. And I think that's probably what we're looking at here this evening, at least I would hope so, against a team in Minnesota, although they're good on the back end. They got a lot of guys banged up front, including our old friend Marcus Johansson's not going to go tonight. He's out due to injury. So we will see, but hopefully a better effort than what we saw in Winnipeg a couple nights ago.
Any update on Ryan Leonard?
Going to be probably another 3 or 4 weeks, but I think that's probably as good as could have been hoped for in a situation like that. I think you will see him in the month of January. not as soon for Pierre-Luc Dubois, but you know, you get these guys back in the lineup, and we were just talking today. I mean, you get through between now and the first week of February, you are through three quarters of the season, which is nuts because it has been so fast with the Olympic break coming up and all of these games in quick succession. So you lose those guys for a lot of games. But on the flip side, you hope that when the time comes, you get them back and they're fresh for the stretch run when there might be some other guys tired or beat up too. So hopefully get those guys back in into the new year.
John, when do we find out who is in and who's out on the Olympic rosters? And what's the best case scenario in terms of number of caps that could be participating?
That's a great question. And I think, you know, it's funny, TJ Oshie is here. He's going to be on the broadcast tonight on Monumental with Joe and Craig as the third man in the booth. So that's going to be fun. I had a long chat with him for the weekend show coming up on Cap Saturday Faceoff today. We talked about Tom Wilson specifically. My sense is that Tom is going to go and play for Team Canada. I think in the body of work that Logan Thompson has put together, he cannot be ignored by Team Canada. I think he will be the backup going in, and if Jordan Binnington wobbles at all, I mean, we might see Logan Thompson starting for Canada. So I think there is an excellent chance that Logan will go, and Martin Ferravari is going to go and play for Slovakia. I think there is a decent chance, I call it, 20%. Jacob Chychrun may very well figure into Team Canada's plans. Right on the very edge. There's so many good defensemen. It's about the toughest decor to make in the field. But given the fact that he's up to 12 goals and certainly has turned a lot of heads, I think the max is probably four. I think three is probably a more likely number for that. But we will know. Team Canada's announced on New Year's Eve, and I think Team USA is New Year's Day, and I think the other teams just before that. So I think once you get past the Christmas time and before New Year's, I think you're going to start to see all those teams get announced.
Give me a temperature check on Hendrix LaPierre.
Well, he's still trying to get it done. And I mean, and, you know, it's not work ethic because it's there. And, you know, a guy, you know, if you'd go 75 games without a goal, you think he'd be down in the dumps. He's still as pleasant as anybody in the room. We've talked to him plenty since we've been here in the Twin Cities. You just pull for the guy and you hope that there's one turns into bunches. I mean, the chances have been there. He had a really good chance in Winnipeg. I thought in the third period, the game was kind of put to bed already, but you know, just getting that one, and he was so close to doing it in Winnipeg. So it's been a really rough couple of seasons for him now. And this is now a longer stretch this season than last when he got sent to Hershey. I don't see that happening just because of waivers, but you'd like to think that he can work through it and try and find his way to get one, and then maybe there's a few that come behind it.
John Walton on the call of Caps Hockey, the radio network taking over about 4 hours from right now with Puck Drop. John, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
Thanks, fellas. Talk to you later.
See you, buddy.
You got it. Listen to him on The Fan tonight. Let's keep the blitz moving. Now we can go to the gridiron. Right now.
Let's go to the hard court.
Now we go to the hardwood and talk hoops with Michael Phillips. He actually texted me and said, I really want to talk about the Wizards. Can we do that? Hello, Miguel. How are you?
Yeah, it's the name three guys on the Wizards challenge, and I am sweating bullets, buddy.
Marvin Bagley. What a game he had the other night, pal. I mean,
you're making that up. He's not a guy on the Wizards. You're pulling a bit on me.
He's gone 15 and 13 and 23 and 14 in the last two games.
You put some respect on the starting center's name.
Is Corey Kispert on the Wizards?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is. All right. Up to two.
This is an honest-to-goodness bit that Candace Buckner does with me in the press box at Commanders games. She'll name an NBA player, and I've got to give her one relevant fact about them. It's incredibly difficult for me.
Okay. I like this game, actually. Let me.
It's my one complete blind spot. You want to do college basketball? I'm there. You want to do NHL? We'll talk puck. Big trade the other day coming out of Vancouver. This is a complete blind spot for me.
Okay. How about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
Played at Kentucky. Remember him at Kentucky?
Yeah.
Presumably in the NBA now. Probably doing all right.
Presumably.
Is he on the Wizards?
Are you doing a bit?
That's tough. Presumably, Miguel?
Is he on Oklahoma City? Is he one of the Oklahoma City guys?
He is the reigning most valuable player award in the association.
See, that's why I've heard of him. Good for him.
Oh, good Lord.
All right, I'll give you one more, and then we can actually talk about football. Because this is actually
this is not a bit, Danny.
This is too fun for me right now. I'm going to go with Anthony Edwards.
Anthony Edwards is
Don't say goose. There you go.
Minnesota.
Yep.
All right. He's good. He's a good player.
Any other info like or just that's what we got?
That's good.
We'll Ant-Man in Minnesota.
Yes.
Okay.
Good at basketball. The file's pretty empty after that. We're just rummaging through some blank papers right now.
Okay, I lied. I'm going to do one more. It's just fun for me. That's all. Aren't we all having fun?
Yeah.
All right, I'm trying to go a little deeper cut here. Let's go with... How about Norman Powell?
That's tough.
No.
That's tough.
He just said no. Not that
check,
one.
Check, please.
Okay, that was probably a little too deep of a cut. How about Austin Reeves?
Spell the last name.
R-E-A-V-E-S, Reeves. Austin Reeves.
Austin Reeves. I do feel like I've heard of him. Who does he play for?
That's a Laker.
Who he play for?
He's a Laker. All right. Well, there you go. I know about Kawhi Leonard. He's got the fake deal. I know about LeBron. He's old. That's my L.A. player rundown for you. And Doncic, who got traded from Dallas.
We should do a Michael Phillips, who he play for at some point.
Three basketball players who play professionally in Los Angeles. That's pretty good.
You just named so many.
I'm getting in on this bit with Candace in the press box on Saturday night. When I see you, I'm going to put together a whole list. What did you make of the shutdown of Jaden Daniels?
I don't like it. I heard you talking about it, and I've talked about it on my show. It's the same thing that I just think if he had played one more game and had even a little bit of success, it changes the offseason narrative so much. I think this is general manager driven. I think that, Adam Peters has very little to gain by him playing, but I think the fan base, I think DQ, I think Jaden all have a lot to gain by him playing more football this season.
Are you not worried? Well, let me phrase it this way. To me, everyone agrees, I think, the baseline is that he needs to play football, and this is for anybody, to get better at football. The point I think a lot of us are making, though, is I don't think he's going to be able to play football when he's hurt again. And that's we chase our own tail in that regard. What do you say to that for the folks of us that are so worried about the risk?
Well, there is risk, but this is data we need, too, as well, yep, about him protecting himself. And I didn't love the quote today about this being freak injuries. I think some of them are avoidable things. And look at Marcus Mariota, ran the ball 10 times on Sunday, never really felt like he was in danger, right? There's ways to play smart. There's ways to know game time and situation. These are all data points we need. Because, by the way, end of the third year is coming. That's the end of next year when they have to decide on the fifth-year option, when they start long-term contract negotiations with Jaden and his agent. These big decisions are coming down the line. And if you're asking me right now today, guys, would I sign him to a six-year deal, $70 million a year to be the franchise quarterback in Washington? My answer is yes. It's still yes, I would. I've seen enough from him. But we get a whole nother year of data here, and I think it's going to be very telling what next year looks like.
Would you consider, in a world where they're shutting down Jaden Daniels, shutting down other veterans who have had some injury issues this year? Tunsil currently, Terry McLaurin. And if you're really not going to either care that much about these three games, you might as well see what Ben Sinnott and see what Johnny Newton and see what other guys have by not playing Kinlaw and Payne and really making sure everybody's healthy for the offseason program.
Tunsil for sure, absolutely. I think that's a pretty easy one. Take care of your veteran guys. I want to see as much of the young guys as possible. Bobby Wagner still played 100% of the snaps last week. And look, he is to be lauded for that. He is a consummate professional. He is still setting incredible NFL records, extending his streaks, all those things. I don't begrudge him any of those things. And none of that benefits this team going into next year. They know who Bobby Wagner is. If he wants to play again, we'd love to have him. And also, those snaps, that green dot should be going to a young guy. We should be seeing what the young guys have. And that's the reason to watch, right? Yeah, I would love for them to beat the Cowboys. Beating the Cowboys is fun. It would liven up everybody's holiday. But more importantly, let's see if Ben Sinnott can be a pass-catching tight end. I thought he looked really good as a blocking tight end. They have a blocking tight end. His name's John Bates. You need a pass-catching tight end next year. Can he be that guy? I want answers to those questions.
The rest of the way, anything else you're concerned about, just in terms of watching? Because a lot of the bloom is off the rose here without Daniels, whether you like it or not. He's not playing. Anything else you're concerned with? You mentioned a couple of the young guys. Anybody else going to catch your eye?
By the way, week 18 is such a dud week in the NFL, and so many guys sit out. If they do a mass sit out, is Mariota going to play, or are you going to let him sit too? Like, we're in a weird spot. Like, we're not that far from a Josh Johnson or Sam Hartman starting appearance in week 18 here, by the way. Am I concerned about anything watching? I'm concerned about my mental health while watching, Danny. I'm not sure these are going to be my finest 9 hours of football viewing here over the next few weeks.
Miguel, thank you, buddy. Good catching up.
Yeah, right, take care, boys.
Thanks, man.
Got it. That is Michael Phillips. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. I want to get to some observations from around the NFL in week 15. We'll do that next. Remember, we got Bill after a 95-yard game with a touchdown joining us at 5 right here on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
In about 15 minutes, you'll hear from Jaden Daniels. He spoke with reporters about being shut down by the Commanders for the first time since they made the decision public yesterday. That's coming up on the show here on Grant and Danny. As a reminder, Friday we are out and about for a Friday field trip. We're back in Leesburg at Pupatella Pizza. Great spot. Family friendly. Bring the kids.
We love all those spots. That Leesburg one especially. Just it's they just know what the hell they're doing over there. The food's awesome. Great folks.
We're out there from 2 to 6:30, so you can do a late lunch, an early dinner. You can be there with us for happy hour with the boys if that's what you want to do. They got a full bar there. So come on out, Pupatella Pizza in Leesburg on Friday. Should be a good time. We'll talk to Bill coming up in 30 minutes. But Danny, I want to hop around the NFL here with some takeaways after week 15. Let's start with the Bills. They got a massive win in Foxborough. They needed
it. What a game that was.
They were down 21-0, then 24-7 at the half. They outscored the Patriots 28-7 after intermission. James Cook was great. Josh Allen was big. He's back in the MVP conversation. Threw 3 touchdown passes, ran for 48 yards. Cook on the ground, 22 for 107 in the game. The Bills sacked Drake May 4 times, picked him off once. New England ran for 148 yards from Travion Henderson. and got two rushing touchdowns from May, and it still wasn't enough. Their defense faltered. The Bills still got a shot in the division. It's not going to be easy. They're 10-4. The Patriots are 11-3. New England finishes with the Ravens, the Jets, and the Dolphins, so they should go 2-1 at worst. The Bills still play Cleveland, Philadelphia, and the Jets. Let's say they go 3-0. You know, they would still have a hard time unless the Patriots let up somewhere else.
That game is why I still think of the Bills as a Super Bowl contender. They're flawed. They got problems. There are things that aren't perfect, but you still have that. Josh Allen could do something special. If they get something from somebody, anybody, a first down catch from Shakir or James Cook running well, they're capable of beating anybody. That rip-roaring second-half comeback, you kind of go, I would not want to be in their way come playoff time.
The Chiefs can be eliminated.
Okay, they can be eliminated. Okay.
I didn't know that. Patrick Mahomes tears his ACL late in the game as Kansas City was eliminated from the playoffs with a loss to the Chargers on Sunday. Injury to insult. Third straight loss for Kansas City. They fell to 6-8, and they're looking to shake things up now on offense. There's a lot of call that maybe Andy Reid's formations and usage and personnel's getting stale. They got to do something different than Matt Nagy, perhaps, as his top assistant. There's questions now about Travis Kelce's future. I don't know if I'm buying the Daily Mail reporting today, not necessarily a sports venture typically, that they've got a source close to Kelce saying that game made him decide he wanted to play one more year because he didn't want to go out without making the playoffs. But he's got a now big decision coming. Just yesterday on Monday Night Countdown, his brother Jason was saying he's going to have to get away from the game, think about it for a few weeks to decide what he wants to do. The sneaky storyline here, though, is the Chargers, who have won 3 in a row and 6 of 7.
They're 10-4, man.
They're 10-4, and here's the deal. Jim Harbaugh can coach.
Yep.
He's a bit of a wild card and a wackadoo, but he can coach football. They swept the Chiefs. They drive the stake through them to end their season.
They've done it in a bunch of different ways. They've had that offensive back-and-forth game. They've won kind of a slugfest. Think of the way they beat Philadelphia a couple weeks ago. They win this rock fight in a divisional game. They could sling it at times with Herbert if he's healthy and right. Getting Omarion Hampton back here down the stretch is helpful for them. Their defense has been really impressive to me over the last few weeks.
Team in the West in the AFC, though, is the Broncos. They're at the top of the division. They won a 12th straight game, the longest streak in the NFL. The Patriots on the East Coast have been getting more love with Drake May as an MVP candidate. Well, they had an 11-game winning streak snapped. The Broncos kept theirs going, got it to 12, longest in football. And how about Bo Nix? I thought he was tremendous in this game. 34-26 winners over the Packers. They were down 23-14 in the third quarter, which is kind of how they like it. They come back to win. Nix throws for 300 yards and 4 touchdowns. Denver's defense special again. Picked off Jordan Love twice. Sacked him 3 times. For the Packers, in addition to losing this game, they lose Micah Parsons, ACL tear, out for the season. That's a disaster. They also lose Christian Watson to a pretty serious chest injury. I mean, he, like Noah Brown, just cannot stay on the field. It's sad because he's very talented. Nobody more decimated right now with key injuries to really good players than the Pack. Their Pro Bowl center, their top edge, who's an All-Pro, their tight end, who was on his way to the Pro Bowl, their deep-threaded receiver, all out now for Green Bay as they try to navigate the NFC North.
It feels to me, and I wonder if you sense the same thing, like the governors are now off on Bo Nix. Meaning, okay, man, we feel like we're comfortable with you now. Let's air it out a little bit. You look at some of the pass attempt numbers over the last few weeks. The offensive numbers have been a bit more prolific. The throwing numbers have been there for him. It feels like there was a lot of spoon feeding, or our defense is so good we can't let you beat us kind of deal. It now feels like it's winning time, and he's thriving a little bit.
Maybe. I mean, it was just a few weeks ago here where I didn't feel that way. I don't know if it's linear. I certainly think that was the case in that game. But I don't know if it's like a breakthrough where now they trust him and they're putting the team on his back. I would need to see a few more games to feel that way. Speaking of the NFC North and the Packers, though, the Bears were the big beneficiary of not only that Green Bay loss and some of those injuries, but Detroit losing to the Rams as well. They were the big winner in the division. They blow out the Browns 31-3, shoving it on Cleveland. They picked off Shedeur Sanders 3 times, sack him 5 times. Caleb Williams goes for 240 and a pair through the air. The throw of the year candidate that he turned in on a touchdown to DJ Moore.
I mean, my God.
Ridiculous. Double coverage. Here's how I would describe the play if you didn't see it. Dude, no, don't
no,
throw
no, no,
that.
No, no,
that's
no, no,
so
no, no,
stu- no. Oh, cool. That was amazing. And the Bears ran for 150 as a team as well. Ben Johnson, man.
Yeah.
He's got him humming.
that's against a great defense. I mean, Cleveland's offense is sad and terrible and miserable, and Sanders came crashing back down to earth. You mentioned it with the three picks and 18 for 35, horrendous in this game. Nothing doing on offense for Cleveland. But doing that for Chicago's offense against that defense, that's legit. That's the real deal, Jim Neal, right there. 31-3, and you mentioned a couple of those highlight plays. You put a couple of those together, again, that's something that could win a playoff game. He could also have those moments where you go, dude, what are you doing? And lose a playoff game? But man, oh man, the ceiling, wow.
I can't remember where I heard this, and I wish I could so I could give them credit. One of the smart football people like that I read. But they basically said, Caleb Williams is having a 6 season or a 5.5 season. And they're like, most guys that do that, they have a lot of 7 games and then yep. a lot of 4.5 games or whatever, mm-hmm. and it averages out. His throws are 9s and 2s.
Yes.
That's how he gets to 6+.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's a 9.5 or a 2, and then he meets in the middle. He misses layups. He misses, just makes terrible throws, and then he makes egregious, ridiculous, high difficulty, 4 guys in the league can make the throw, arm talent throws. And in the end, you get to him having kind of an average year at quarterback, but it's with outrageous and bad, not just like a little better than average and a little worse than average, if that makes sense. I mentioned the Lions. That game with the Rams was entertaining as heck. That was fun. I thought Jared Goff was great. He threw for 338 and 3 in the loss. He did everything he could. That defense, though, has just come apart at the seams. Too many injuries, and now they're getting gashed. Matt Stafford helping out his MVP hunt. 368 yards, 2 touchdowns. Early in the game, he throws a pick six right into the hands of Aiden Hutchinson, returned, and the Rams fell behind. You thought, uh-oh, here we go. But then the Rams went for
519
yards. They get to 11-3. Devontae Adams did leave with a bad hamstring injury. He'll be out Thursday night for sure against Seattle and maybe for the presuming next several weeks. I mean, they're hopefully going to get a bye because they might need it now with this Dav Adams hamstring, depending on how bad it is. Puka Nacua, 9 for 181 for the Rams. They just did whatever they wanted against the Lions defense, which killed them. But I think it's got to be said, Danny, I thought Goff needed to play a nearly perfect game to keep him in it. And he really did. Like, he was excellent.
He was terrific. And you see when they go full throttle, what you can do with Amon-Ra St. Brown close and, you know, Jameson Williams maybe down the field, et cetera.
You know, J-Mo is top 10 in the NFL in receiving yards now. Jameson Williams has come on big time.
They've needed it as they've had, you know, injuries to Laporta and not many other options. He's kind of emerged. But defensively for the Rams, that was my only kind of, I didn't know you guys could give that up right there. I know that was the kind of game it was, bit of a shootout style, but that was something I'm watching now kind of going forward. But who's better than Puka Nacua, by the way? Not many. That guy is special. What an unbelievable player he is. Went for $181.
Looking at some of the big storylines from week 15 in the NFL, Seahawks surviving the Colts was fun. Seattle got 6 field goals, including one in the final minute to beat Phil Rivers in Indianapolis. The Colts had one script that they had to stick to win.
Mm-hmm.
Rivers can't really turn it over. You got to run the ball and play defense, and you got to hope that 15 wins it. And it almost happened, man. Rivers, to his credit, was accurate. The ball came out really fast. I was worried about Seattle's front getting to him, and he just didn't let them. Basically, it's a lot of throws behind the line of scrimmage and at the line of scrimmage. He didn't push the ball down the field almost at all, and he couldn't. He just didn't have the zip. He looked like, you know, you pulled some guy out of the crowd, basically, to play quarterback. But he with his mind, knowing where to go with the ball and with his accuracy, the offense functioned for what it's worth. Now, it was not good. It was not impressive. I'm stunned that they're starting him again. I thought that was like a Riley Leonard's not available. We're breaking glass because of an emergency. Supposedly, Anthony Richardson's closer to being ready, and they're still going with Phil Rivers on Monday night against San Francisco, which is nuts. But they almost won that damn game. What a
crazy
story that would have been. For Seattle, 113 through the air for Jackson Smith and Jigba. Seahawks 11-3, shot at the 1 seed. Now they've got the big Thursday night game I was talking about with the Rams. 2-11-3 teams.
Yeah, a little survive and advance feel to that one, right? Like, that should have been a more lopsided victory from a team that might be the best in the sport, but you got through it. I mean, that was a tough game group there. You mentioned in Indianapolis.
Colts defense played great.
They really did. There was a moment in that game, though, where Rivers was right. I think it was a throw down the sideline to Downs, if that makes sense, where I think it was either a zero blitz or some kind of moment where he saw it immediately. And as you said, he's not letting himself get hit. And he did that back foot, you know, little Rivers flip up in the air. Downs, it was too early for Downs. He's now is running. He turns back, doesn't see the ball, lands right next to him. if he's on time looking for it, it's a touchdown.
Yeah.
He walks in. It's one of those things where I go, my God, Rivers already knew. Like, yeah, he's two steps ahead of these guys, and they're not used to it.
It is amazing as you play the quarterback position for a long
time.
How
smart you get.
Just how much it all slows down. I've talked to Kirk Cousins about that a lot over the years. Like, your body's breaking down on you. Physically, you can't do things, but you wish you could just import that chip into your brain from, like, 8-9 years ago and what you could accomplish. The Panthers probably had the worst loss. I guess you could say probably, and take it and throw it away. I mean, who had a worse loss than them? 20-17 in New Orleans. They did what the Bucs did with the Falcons on Thursday night, speaking of Kirko. 5 yards per play on offense for the Panthers was gross. 281 total. Bryce Young, 163 passing. Rico Dowdle, 3.1 per carry. Tyler Shuck was okay, ran for 32, threw for 272. And for the Panthers, they give up the game-winning field goal at the gun after a really bad 15-yard penalty, takes a long field goal that was probably not going to be made, and makes it a chip shot. Just a really brutal loss for a team that had a chance to take the lead in the division going into the final three.
Yeah, they're the Caleb Williams of teams, right? It's wins that are 9s out of 10 and losses that are 2 out of 10.
You're going, what
are you
put it.
What are you doing? You know, and then they've got a couple of pelts on the wall where you're going, that's incredibly impressive. I mean, they beat the Rams 2 weeks ago. That's one of the wins of the year, and now to New Orleans.
Other big winners for me, Jags, another blowout win. They're blowing everybody out right now.
All of a sudden, right?
48-20, career day for Trevor Lawrence with 6 total touchdowns, 5 passing, 1 rushing. The Texans might be the hottest, best team in the league right now. They doubled up Arizona, 40-20. The Ravens defense showed out against the Bengals, shut them down, 24-0 win for Baltimore. And the Eagles, speaking of shutouts and shoving it, just dominated the Raiders, who's got to be the worst team in the NFL. They play the Giants coming up for the first overall pick. I think the Giants will beat the Raiders, and Vegas ends up 1-1 picking a quarterback. Biggest losers, we talked about the Panthers. I think the Cowboys have to be on that list as well.
Yep.
34-26 to the Vikings. They played the Lions last week, the Vikings this week, 2 winnable games. They had the playoffs right in their palm, and now they're all but eliminated. They need to win out, and the Eagles would have to lose out for them to win the division. There's no path for the wild card. Their playoff chances after this loss are down to 1%.
Yeah, there were just enough moments there. Minnesota's defense wasn't great most of the game. Dallas had answers sometimes, but it was just enough plays made by, you know, that one more blitz, that one extra play, et cetera. I actually thought J.J. McCarthy was decent in this game.
He was.
Again, not writing home saying I saw the best I've ever seen, but it's growth from where we were a little bit ago where people in Minnesota are going, yeah, he really can't walk and chew gum, and he's lucky if his shoes are tied. Now sort of seems to be grabbing it a little bit, which is good.
Only 8 games played, so...
Yeah, still early. You know,
let's
tap
the brakes a little bit, give him a little bit of time here at this point. You just need him to show something, and he's starting.
He's doing that.
For sure. Grant and Danny on the Fan. What did Jaden Daniels have to say today about being shut down by the Commanders, his sophomore season ending before he wanted it to? You will hear from him next on G&D.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Yesterday, Dan Quinn said Jaden Daniels' sophomore season is over. He's being shut down with three games to go. Daniels met with the media today to discuss the decision for the first time. Here's how it sounded.
It was obviously disappointing. You know, I'm a competitor. I want to play, but I wasn't medically cleared to go. And I sat down, talked to DQ and AP, and, you know, made the decision.
How do you feel physically?
I'm getting better. I mean, like I said, I didn't meet the markers to be cleared for contact except for this game. So now I was just focused on getting healthy and preparing for next year.
What's this season been like for you, just in general?
Frustrating, disappointing, a lot more emotion, but very much probably a lot of adversity that I've dealt with, you know, on the field for the most part, and, you know, just trying to learn and keep moving forward.
What have you learned about yourself during this time because of all that?
Man, I haven't really sat to reflect, but I'll say the main one is it's not easy to rehab and get back out there, especially after something so traumatic like that. So just the perseverance and really just the passion and the want to, you know, to be the best version of myself for my teammates.
Would you have done anything different?
Go ahead, Ben. Sorry.
You asked.
Just saying that, you know, the rehab, how difficult it is. If you could have changed anything through the process, would you?
I mean, yeah, I would be healthy. That'd be the main one. But nah, man, you know, I just got to go with the battles. And obviously, it's the story that God had written out for me. So we'll move forward and learn from it.
Dan said that you could have, in theory, gone back into that game. What? But then a couple days later, it felt a little bit different. What felt different for you? What did the re-aggravation mean as far as your, how you felt?
I mean, adrenaline is a hell of a drug, so that's a big one. But things change, you know, once stuff settled down.
It's probably unfamiliar territory for you, practicing with, you know, you're not going to play. But how engaged are you in the game plan and getting Marcus ready to go?
I mean, that's my focus, man, being the best teammate for Marcus, being the best teammate in the locker room, anything Marcus needs, you know, to be there for him, and just how supportive and how much he's meant to me in my career. It's time to, you know, exchange roles and do that for him.
What do you think you can learn over these next 3 weeks?
Man, I mean, just continue to get better and see the game from a different lens, ask questions, as many questions as I can. Kind of have that time to really sit there and maybe ask DQ about situational football, or go talk to the DB coach, Simo, and all those guys to see what they're thinking and how they would call this and, like, what are the rules and principles. So
good Lord.
That's a lot I can learn.
Have you been surprised by the number of injuries you've had and games you've had to miss this season? That's not something you're used to.
Yeah, I have been surprised. I mean, nobody wants to be injured. You work so hard and put in so much work daily and in the off season to get to this point. So it's very hard for, you know, people to, and frustrating for people to deal with injuries.
Have you already started to think in terms of the off season, like things to do to help you avoid the injuries the next time? Anything like different types of training or anything that you're kind of
I mean, that's a tough question. I mean, I can't really avoid the injuries that I've dealt with. Those are just freak accidents. So, you know, just you kind of reevaluate after each season.
Hey, Jaden, this has been tough going through this, but who has been the most instrumental in helping you navigate through this?
Man, my family in general. You know, my mom and my dad, you know, they kind of try to pry things out of me and everything. So they make sure that, like, mentally, that's probably the most important thing for me especially dealing with something that I haven't dealt with before. So it's new territory for all of us, and, you know, they've been by my side and really just helped me navigate through things.
What are you doing in practice and over the next couple of weeks? What's your plan in practice to just work on? What is it you want to work on? What will you be doing?
Man, I'll be out there practicing whatever they need me to do. If I got to do scout team, I'll have fun with that and get the best looks. And really just be out here, like I said, be supportive to all my teammates and still be engaged and bring the juice and the energy.
That they were freak injuries in your mind, does that add to the frustration in a way?
Yeah, I mean, other than, you know, the one game I missed for a hamstring, I mean, you know, my knee and then obviously my elbow, those aren't something that you could really necessarily prepare for. Those are things that, like I said, freak accidents and things like that. So it's for most definitely frustrating and at that time very, like I would say, traumatic and stuff like that, because you never know what you do and you see different things. So I just kind of just move forward and, you know, get ready for next year.
And you play in an era where everybody has an opinion and voices it regularly. Is that difficult to deal with, or are you just kind of used to it? Like, how do you manage all that?
Man, we in a time, like I said, everybody has an opinion and everybody's entitled to their own opinion. Doesn't necessarily mean that applies to my life or I have to follow it. For me, it's just all that matters is like my inner circle in this building. And people are going to have their opinions, whether you're doing good, whether you're doing bad. You're on the field, you're off the field. So kind of just, you know, move on and kind of brush it to the side.
When did you know after Minnesota, like after the adrenaline wore off, that, oh man, this is still a problem?
I woke up the next day. That's kind of when you really, everything settles down. And I just woke up the next day, you know, did some tests, felt it in different things. And, you know, just kind of just being honest and going forward, because longevity is a big thing. So you want to be smart with these type of things.
How tough was that moment?
Super tough, man. I don't want to miss games at all. I've been frustrated this whole season missing games. I want to be out there to help my teammates as much as possible. So it's just been a frustrating year, disappointing year, but you learn from it and we move forward.
Candid Jaden Daniels with reporters today after he was shut down yesterday by the Commanders. That last 30 seconds or so makes me think, you know, I've been assuming he's kind of pushing back and battling and fighting to not be shut down. It almost sounded like he was on board with it. He's like, I was being honest and I felt something. Now, maybe that was just specific for this week, but he talked about longevity and wanted to think about the big picture. It didn't sound like someone who was like mad. He wasn't coming out to say, I wish they wouldn't have shut me down. Now, I don't know what's to be gained from that, but I kind of get the sense he was on board with this.
Yeah, or that at least it makes sense to him, right? If you're not cleared for this week, and then it's a short week where there's an instant turnaround, you know, where you have to basically make your declaration 2 days later, 3 days later, because you're playing from Saturday to Thursday, then you're kind of at the end. And if you were feeling enough discomfort, it's one of those, yeah, you know, I don't love this. I want to play. You heard him say that, but he's also a reasonable human being, and he kind of gets it, I think.
Next on Grant and Danny to kick off our 5 o'clock hour, Jacory Kroski-Merritt. Bill stops by for his weekly Tuesday conversation, this time after a really strong game, 18 carries, 96 yards, and a touchdown. You're listening to The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.